Thank you very much, Doctor, for the kind introduction. And also thank you for the very important principles in nurture, retention, and also evangelism. This afternoon, I'm going to share to you about the integrated evangelism lifestyle, a framework for discipleship, nurture, and reclamation in SSD. Why we develop this kind of program? Because we have challenges in our division. And I would like to share to you the challenges that we have. You know, from 1997 to 2012, we reached 2 million, more than 2 million people baptized into the church. But when we had the church survey audit in the year 2012, we found out that we lost almost 800,000 people. So the net loss that we have is about 39.59. It's about 40%. And these are not numbers only; these are souls. Okay. So that's the challenge that we have. Of course, among the reasons cited: weak foundation before baptism, lack of nurturing, lack of friends, and warmth in the church. And then another challenge that we have, of course, is SSD is located in the 1040 windows, and we have least evangelized countries, we have unreached people groups, and then our challenge is how to reach these dominant religious blocks like Hinduism and so on and so forth. So we look for ways and means whereby we will be able to, according to Mrs. Ellen G. White, reach the high and low, rich and poor, so that they may be able to hear the message. And of course, we came up with this model, integrated evangelism lifestyle. And we tried this one since 2017 to 2018. So last year, 2018, was the year of evangelism. And then we have the SSD for Christ. So from Southern Asia Pacific Division, we put a missiological meaning to it, and it becomes seeking, saving, and discipling. SSD. Okay, so that's the program. It's in cooperation with the Seventh-day Adventist World Church in promoting total member involvement initiative, focused on empowering every church member as well as the departments of the church for integrated lifestyle, disciple making, and evangelism, employing the structure of care group with Christ method as its guiding principle, enriching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's the description of the program that we have, SSD for Christ. Our vision was every church member of Southern Asia Pacific Division will be totally involved in nurture, discipleship, reclamation, and evangelism. And this is the result. You know, in order to carry our program, we need to increase the number of care groups that we have. So when we started in 2013, we only have about 11,000. In 2016, 13,000. And then in 2017, we have 19,000. We are very happy that in the year 2018, with the help of our unions and missions, we were able to reach 30,897 care groups or small groups. And then last year, we challenged them to conduct evangelism. And we are very happy that 10,516 of our care groups participated in evangelistic crusades. And then we also challenged them, these care groups, to do some reclamations. And last year, we were able to reclaim 12,652 souls. And the result of baptism, of course, we are very happy that last year, we were able to add to our membership 126,293. So far, this is the biggest and the highest of Southern Asia Pacific. Mm-hmm. So we praise the Lord for this. Okay, so the program SSD for Christ is actually based on the IEL framework or principle. So IEL is a missional framework of how church members and departments of SSD work collaboratively for nurture, discipleship, reclamation, and evangelism. So this is the foundation of IAL, I, integrated. And of course, we have the foundational verses there. Text from the scripture, do all in the name of the Lord, do all to the glory of God. And then evangelism, we identify the mission of Jesus Christ, seek and save. And also in Matthew 28:18-20, make disciples. And then of course, the lifestyle. We believe that the best lifestyle is when we love the Lord with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our mind, and also loving our neighbors as ourselves. And then this is the focus of IAL. Personal life focus first. This has to start with the individual and then go into the church ministry, focusing on nurture, discipleship, reclamation, evangelism. And then the churches, we situate that they are involved in care groups. So I'll go to this personal focus. Of course, the biblical foundation is in 1 Peter 3:10. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. So this means that we are ambassadors of Christ, and we are called to show through our lifestyle and words that He is the Lord and Savior. So we have expectations in our personal lifestyle. Okay, God's power, authority, and empowerment are infused in our involvement for His glory. Always demonstrate good Christian conduct as more convicting to those who are not in the faith or backsliding. Witness is more rooted in our character than in our words. Passion and conviction about God's love will show through to others. Joy is indispensable in sharing love. It is not just what we know, it is whom we know. So this is on the personal lifestyle evangelism. And then, of course, we base this from the writings of Ellen G. White, which he said, the glory of the Church of God is in the piety of its members, for there is hiding of Christ's power. So, authentic spiritual person, really, it's very important when it comes to fulfilling the mission of God. Ministry integrated evangelism, the second focus. Our goals and expectation, ministries witnessing are people-centered and not just program-centered. Because sometimes we have a lot of programs, and some of these programs are already competing and also crowding the all ministries are integrated in activities and programs to give glory to God. All departments collaborate in evangelism based on disciple-making as the main focus. All departments share resources with one goal to seek and to save. All departments commit, develop, and adapt culture of evangelism. Leadership is committed to own and support discipleship program. It also lead in mentoring and monitoring the discipleship activities. Leadership is committed to lead by rhetoric, inspiration, encouragement, and empowerment. And then churches and small groups, that's our target. That's why we really promote the care groups, our churches, to address the ministry involvement of church members with a view of maximization of their spiritual gifts and interests. Small groups, care groups are intentional and life-changing units of the church. Small groups, care groups are vehicles and infrastructure for the various ministries like nurturing, discipling, and reclaiming, and also evangelism. Churches establish a culture of discipling, nurturing, reclaiming, indicated in a contextualized approaches and strategies. So the focus of discipling, which is expressed in the RIEL, nurture, discipleship, reclamation, evangelism, is, of course, the focus of the church is making disciples. The goals in discipling is actually to save, to help them grow in their spirituality, to help them committed and be willing to suffer for Christ, for them to serve the church and the community, and then multiply to become disciplers. Sometimes the problem is we only settle with that first part there, saving. And we have to erase that concept from our church members. Sometimes our church members would say, oh, it's enough that they're already in the church. But I think we have to help these newly baptized members grow in their spirituality, be committed to Him, okay, be willing to suffer for Christ, serve, and then become disciples. And of course, the ultimate aim is perfecting of the saints, work of the ministry, and edifying the body of Christ. So we have here making disciples, we have nurture and reclamation. These are derivative activities in making disciples. In making disciples, we have to nurture new members, regular members, and then also reclaim missing members, inactive members, and the focus, okay, the goal is retention and commitment expressed in Ephesians 4:12. So this is the framework now. There are six important themes that we follow in our IEL program in Southern Asia Pacific Division. First, we emphasize the mandate. When we talk about the mandate, we're talking about reflecting Christ's character in the life of our church members. So we are talking here about spirituality, and then, of course, mission, reach the world, making disciples as an outgrowth of spirituality. And then the manner of reaching the world is, of course, total member involvement, the method, Christ method, and the means or infrastructure, the vehicles for nurturing, discipling, evangelism, through care groups and churches, and the motivating and mobilizing power is through the power of the Holy Spirit. So again, we emphasize to them that spirituality is a priority. And this is the statement from Ellen G. White. He teaches that we are to make him first and last and best in everything. Okay? So also expressed in Matthew 4:19, when he said, follow me, the direction of the call is relational, spirituality. And then when he says, I will make you, it is transformational, involving the mind, heart, and the total being. And then when he says, fishers of men, is a missional goal in advancing God's kingdom. So, mission. Mission. This is our mission. Okay, and I like this very much because the mission is sandwiched with two promises. Okay, all power and authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. And then I will be with you even unto the end of the world. And then you will see there, go teach, baptize, and make disciples. So that is the concept of nurture, discipleship, proclamation, integrated evangelism, lifestyle. So this is further corroborated in John 15:16, the components of making disciples. Sometimes we only settle on bearing fruits, but when we talk of John 15:16, being a disciple, okay, to be called to be a disciple, we have to bear fruits. And it is also our responsibility to remain those fruits. And that is where nurture reclamation comes in. So this is the work to do. So we emphasize to our pastors that God's plan for leaders is to give each one something to do for others and all be taught how to work. And this is the relationship. We emphasize to them the relationship of spirituality and mission. Spirituality is our walk in God. Mission is our work for God. Spirituality, our pilgrimage, mission, our performance. Spirituality focuses on authenticity, mission focuses on accomplishments. And then spirituality focuses on character, mission focuses on competence. Spirituality focuses on integrity, mission focuses on initiatives. And then spirituality is a call for rootedness, but mission is a call for readiness. So spirituality is really the foundation, whereas mission is the outgrowth. So another relationship, spirituality is abiding in the King, mission is advancing the knowledge of the King, spirituality is cross-centered, mission is cost-centered, spirituality is intrinsic, the other one is extrinsic, spirituality is of the being, but mission is doing, spirituality is timeless, but the mission is timely. So these are the implications. Before we do the Great Commission, we should first align to the chief mandate, which is spirituality. Alignment always comes before the assignment. So we emphasize spirituality and then mission is the outgrowth. And then total member involvement, I think it's very clear. We are always using this quotation from Ellen G. White. Okay. The work of God in this earth can never be finished until the men and women comprising our church members membership rally to the work and unite their efforts with those of ministers and church officers. And then Christ method. Okay, we have Ministry of Healing, page 143. And then that method is translated into six components: the contact aspect, concern, compassion, care, confidence, and then conviction, and then commitment. And then this one is very important to us, means or through care groups or the vehicles. So we teach them that care group is God's design, and then we use this statement from Ellen G. White: the formation of small companies at this Christian effort has been presented to me by one who cannot hear. There is a large number in the church. Let the members be formed into small companies to work not only for the church members, but for unbelievers. So we consider care groups as vehicles of nurture, discipleship, reclamation, and evangelism. So what we have there, it may be stewardship, it may be youth, it may be family, or other departments. We use care groups as vehicles of our activities. So these are the functions of care groups that we are advocating right there. Care groups is for pastoral care and discipleship, building community and relationship, assimilating, empowering members for ministry, multiplying disciples and leaders, and then accountability. So the structure of our care group is, first, the members are considered as intercessory family members. So every member will be responsible of inviting, praying for the cared family. The cared family or friends are non-Adventist. So intercessory family or member plus cared family, it means you have the care group. And then in our small groups, we apply the methods of Jesus Christ. That's why from small group, we change the word into care group because of this, of the components, the six components of the methods of Jesus Christ. So care groups there are involved in reclamation. So here are methods of reclaiming through care groups.
Can we see that slide again, the previous one?
So that's how we apply the methods of Christ applied in care group. And then these are the simple ways in which care group are involved in reclamation. This one also is in nurture, and there are ways how to do it. And then care groups and evangelism. This one is, this is how we do it there. The care group leaders, they are encouraged to conduct an evangelistic crusade, and the month is March and April, using the care groups. And then it is followed by the church elders, deacons, and laymen, May and June, that's the schedule, and again using the care groups, so that there will be total involvement. And then pastors, directors, officers, July and August, again using the care groups. And then people coming from the GC division, which we considered as visiting evangelists, September and October. And towards the end, we have harvest celebration. Sorry, Dr. Dos, using that word, harvest.
That's okay.
Actually, we are using that in the Philippines, harvest celebration. That's the term that we are, you know, our people are excited when we use the harvest. So now I learned a lot.
Just make sure you understand what you mean and what you don't mean.
So this is the, was this. We made a timeline for them. You see there? We quote it from Luke 10:2. The harvest is vast, but the workers are few, so ask the Lord of the harvest.
Yeah, it's perfect.
So we divided it, okay, and then we designed the timeline that there is discipleship, there is nurture, there is pre-discipleship or non-SD, there is evangelism and reclamation, and then there is also post-discipleship and nurture. So, and then we put dates on this on how our care groups can function. Okay. And these are the activities in each section: revival, reformation, and then cultivation activities. Okay, we provide these activities to our care groups: sewing activities, home visitation, Bible study, evangelistic meeting, and then grand harvest activities. Care group harvest in churches, grand harvest by district, and then centralized harvest. And then this is the last grand celebration activities.
And the last slide?
Activities.
Is it also the last slide?
No. I think three more slides. And then nurture and discipling activities. This is how we do the nurturing and discipling after they're baptized. And then the last part is the power of the Holy Spirit. These are the last slides that
we're
presenting. Okay. We have that in Acts 1:8.
Yeah.
And then what we need is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Without this, we are no more filled to go forth to the world, and we're the disciples after the crucifixion mm-hmm. of the world. It is the absence of the Spirit that makes the gospel ministry so powerless. Learning, talent, eloquence, every natural or acquired endowment may be possessed, but without the presence of the Spirit,
amen.
God, no heart will be touched.
Amen.
Want of Christ. So this is the last slide.
Yeah.
Our Heavenly Father is more willing to give His Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. But it is our work by confession, humiliation, repentance, and earnest prayer to fulfill the completion upon which God has promised to grant us His blessings.
Amen.
So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Okay. We have 3 minutes for question and answer. Or maybe five.
One comment.
Yes, sir.
I was really fascinated about the structure on the care groups / small groups. Initially I did not really understand what the care groups were, and then later on you explained the care groups or small groups. Are they the same?
The structure is the same, yeah. But the functions and also the functions are a little bit different.
Mm. Okay.
Because we integrated Christ method into small groups, where there is the caring element, compassionate element.
So these care groups or small groups meet in respective homes? Or they meet
they are meeting in their homes. It depends upon the convenience. So they have to meet together and discuss which is more convenient to them, whether they're going to have it in their homes or will be in the
church. I'm really fascinated about it, because if you have such a structured kind of 100% small group, care group activities in the whole of the division,
yes.
The ministry must be exploding, because small group is fundamental and really nice.
And that's one of the factors why we have more of these baptisms, because when these care groups really
function
and really were involved,
yeah.
Then that's why I showed you the report. It doubles our baptism.
Hmm. Well, I have one care group.
That's why we